Blog Talk Radio.
There is a legend of two men out on the sports prairie. Two lonesome men that can wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. It is the legend of El Presidente and his faithful sidekick, $2 Bill Josh. It is the legend of the Mallets Wrap-Up, and that legend continues today. All right, boys and girls, welcome to the Balance / Gary Snyder Show. My name's Tom Mark. We're so glad that you could join us for the next 2 hours. We'll have a great time. Here's what we do here, guys, in case you're just joining us or just becoming a part of who we are and what we do. We are so glad to have you a part of the Balance and Gary Snyder Show. What we do here every day is 1 hour, we are live with the Gary Snyder Show, and then the second hour, we rebroadcast the hour with myself, the second hour of the Gary Snyder Show with myself and Gary Snyder. I always have some great, exciting guests, and in this second hour here, you're going to hear Abdul from Indianapolis, former radio talk show here on in Indianapolis on AM 1460, Abdul in the Morning. If you're from the Indianapolis area, you certainly are familiar with who he is. And then also we've got Kurt Cavan from the Indianapolis Star, who joined us with a very, very touching moment interview about Dan Weldon. And one of the things that we're going to be doing on the Balance Gridiron on Saturday morning is we're going to be doing a special tribute to Dan Weldon and what he brought to racing. Well, joining me as always, Mr. $2 Bill Josh, and we're getting ready to join the Gary Snyder Show live for the last half hour of the Gary Snyder Show. Josh, how are we doing today?
I'm doing well, Tom. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. How about those freaking Cardinals, my man? How about it?
They're 3 games away from making me look like a prophet, finally.
Well, what we're going to do, any thoughts there real quickly?
I just thought the St. Louis Cardinals wanted it more. They took advantage of their opportunities. The Rangers had several opportunities to win the game. And for whatever reason, Chris Carpenter and the rest of the Cardinals bullpen shut down every chance it seemed like the Rangers got.
Right, and you know, it's. I still think that this is going to be a 7-game series, and we're trying to join the Gary Snyder Show right now here in just a few short minutes, and we're going to really dive into some baseball, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up with the Colts. So you guys don't want to miss that. If you got any questions about any type of sports or really anything for that matter, 917-889-8516 is the number to call. And we'll get you on the air with myself, $2 Bill Josh, and Gary Snyder. Well, we're going to jump to a break, and when we get back, we're going to jump right in with the Gary Snyder Show right here on Blog Talk Radio Network.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Show on 1400 WBAT. I think right now we're also joined by the Balance Radio Network. Balance Radio Network. Are you there?
The Balance Radio Network is here, coast to coast. So glad that you could join us at 5:30. What we're going to do, a little housekeeping thing. We're going to run between myself and $2 Bill Josh. We'll be live on the air until 6:30. And then at 6:30, we're going to run the second hour of the Gary Snyder Show. And Gary, what was on your agenda for that day, for today?
Oh, it's funny you mentioned that, Tom. We'll have to talk.
All righty.
Oh, first of all, I need to tell everyone about Freightco. They are a leading freight company in Northeast Indiana, and they are growing, and they want you. That's right. Freightco is looking for owner-operators who want miles and home time. If this sounds like you, then listen up. Freightco offers a 92-cent CPM, plus, that's in addition to, for all you Cardinal fans, a competitive FSC on all dispatches. Freightco drivers average 2,500 plus miles a week and are home on weekends. Freightco offers consistent lanes with many being drop and hook. So if you're looking for a company that puts customers and employees first, or you just want more information on what Freightco has to offer, give Ray a call. You can't do it tonight. He's at home eating dinner. Do it tomorrow. 866-397-2581, or you can visit them online at freightco.org. Freightco, they are a freight moving company. Now, if you cannot remember all that, all you really need to remember is GaryLSnyder.com, and you can find out the meaning of life there. Can't you, Tom?
I have no doubt you can find the meaning of something. It might be a reason to take my life, but no, I'm just kidding. GaryLSnyder.com, absolutely.
All right, Tom, talk to us a little bit about the Cardinals' big win last night while I try to find my second hour to send to you.
That'd be great. Wow, how about those freaking Cardinals? World Series, game one. I know $2 Bill Josh, you're joining us, and we were talking a little bit in the break. I tell you what, Josh, the Rangers just really did not have what it took in the cold weather up there in Busch Stadium. Obviously, I still think it's going to go seven games. But, Josh, what do you think were some of the downfalls or the down pits for the Texas Rangers?
Well, I just think they didn't capitalize on their scoring opportunities. When you get a guy to second base in game one of the World Series with one out, you got to be able to bring him home. They consistently could get to second base. They couldn't get any farther than that. So I thought it was a pretty good game. It's, Tom, it sounds like you already got called to the principal's office after the show.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's the principal's office. He's got me a little worried, I can tell you that much. It's always interesting here on the Gary Snyder Show. Never a dull moment, that's for sure. That's why Gary's got his own bobbleheads and coffee mugs. But one thing about the St.
We're working on the bobbleheads. We have the coffee mugs, though.
Oh, that's right. We're working on the bobbleheads. And we're going to have to figure out a way to get a bobblehead for myself, you, and $2 Bill Josh. Maybe all on the same bobblehead or three different bobbleheads. But I don't know. All I know is we know we've made it when you've got your own bobblehead. Well, one thing out there in St. Louis, there was a lot of heads bobbling around wanting to know what in the world's going on. This is the World Series, guys. Get it together. And, you know, actually, it was a good game. I watched it, obviously. The St. Louis Cardinals were able to pull off a win, but neither the St. Louis Cardinals or the Texas Rangers had a starter pitch that could pitch more than six innings in their league championship series. And the way the hitters dominated, the Cardinals hit .310 in eight homers, and the Rangers .286 with seven homers. The World Series might be more of the same when you look at it. I was talking about in the regular season. Obviously, that didn't happen last night. Just getting ahead of myself on my notes, you know. You know, I have that something shiny. There's something shiny right there. But
I'm surprised you take notes. I just wing it.
Maybe that's what I need to start doing. You know, I try to get a plan together and an agenda together and talk about it and see if I can't move forward with that. But the more and more I make notes, the more and more I sound like Obama trying to sell his jobs bill. Bump, bump.
Here we go. Throwing politics in with sports, Tom.
Hey, that's what we put in the description, where sports and politics and pop culture collide. They do
collide. Well, speaking about pop culture, I will give everyone, since you are listening right now, I will give everyone a heads up on our a guest on Monday, and it is huge when it comes to pop culture, and that is Duff McKagan. If you don't know who Duff is, think Guns N' Roses, think bassist, pretty awesome.
Are we going to have? Is he going to let us do some Guns N' Roses bumper music? And I tell you what, though, whenever you could be an '80s rocker and come back and be on the Gary Snyder Show, you know you have made the rebirth. It's kind of like the Eagles coming back on tour.
I don't know if we'd go that far, but, yeah, I'm excited to have Duff on, and should be a pretty exciting time. We'll get into some baseball here, Tom. You're the Cardinals fan. Whoop it up. You're the homer. Give us some Cardinals action here.
Whoop, whoop. I'll tell you what, the St. Louis Cardinals had a fantastic opening. I will call it a fantastic game because it was a good game. I mean, by no means was it a disappointment in what happened, but I just think that they're still trying to get their rhythm. I mean, it was a decent game. Berkman's revival in St. Louis started out immediately. Lance Berkman spent over 10 seasons as an unlovable foe of the St. Louis Cardinals and took fewer than 10 games this season for him to become one of the more respected figures in their clubhouse. It was in the middle of April around that ballpark, and the Cardinals were in San Francisco, and they had just lost two games in a row on game hittings. And I tell you what, Josh, what are your thoughts on Berkman? I like him. I think he's good. I think he has a lot to offer. Josh, what are your thoughts on Lance Berkman?
I think he did play pretty well last night. I think he has a lot to offer the Cardinals, but I've been struggling with that game all day long. And I'm anxious to hear Gary's thoughts, and then we can go to Tom. Gary, did the Cardinals win that game, or did Texas lose that game?
You know, I don't know. I was watching Criminal Minds. No, but in all honesty, I was watching Criminal Minds. But no, I think you got to give the Cardinals a little credit. They came through with the base hits when they needed it. The Texas Rangers did not. Texas have been clutch throughout the playoffs in clutch situations. And their clutch hitters last night didn't come through, and that's why the Cardinals got the 3-2 win. Blame it on the weather, the pitching, choking, whatever. Cardinals deserve the win, and as much as I hate to admit it, they're up 1-0.
Well, and I think the Cardinals do deserve the win. Obviously, we can throw terms like clutch player and choking around in a baseball conversation, and it'll always go pretty well. But that ninth inning argument was about all the fight that the Rangers could muster up on the wet, cold Wednesday. And, you know, we talked about it right here on this show with our guests about if the weather was going to be a factor. And, you know, they didn't seem to think that it would be. Obviously, I think that it was. Texas never really got its bats going against the Cardinals and Chris Carpenter or five relievers and dropped the first game of the World Series with a 3-2 loss. Now, let's you know, one thing about it is I really believe, guys, this is going to go down to seven games. And, you know, the Rangers obviously are now trying to be the first team since 1992 Blue Jays to lose one game on the road and come back and win the World Series since 93 home team won that game one, ended up winning the World Series, including the Giants last year against the Rangers. So, you know, one thing about it is the Rangers batters managed just six hits on that night. So one thing about it, this is going to be a series, guys. This isn't going to be a shutout sweep series. This is going to go seven games. You heard it from me, and I'm going to tell you they're going to use every weapon that they have. And so I wouldn't count the Rangers out just yet. I mean, I love my Cardinals being there and everything, and I just think that, you know, for TV rights and commercials and advertising, they're going to go seven games. That's my conspiracy theory. At least that's what happens in the NBA, right, Josh?
Hey, guys, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Major League Baseball, the World Series, maybe a few other things right here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Listen to Good Morning Grand County.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
We are back here on the Gary Snyder Show and the Balance Radio Network. Welcome back. Before we get back to Tom and Josh, I need to tell you about United Country, Natalie L. Real Estate, and Natalie Letterly. Now, if you're looking to buy a new house, if you're looking to sell a house, you can go to all the other real estate agents, but at some point you need to talk to Natalie Letterly at United Country Natalie L. Real Estate. She has the credentials. She has the professionalism. She has the experience that is second to none. But what she possesses, what sets her apart, is the passion to help you find that dream home or to sell your existing home. Again, like I said just a few seconds ago, you either call her first, you call her last, but she needs to be involved in any real estate conversation you are having. Call her now, 260-358-9288. Again, that's 260-358-9288. Or you can visit her online at lrealestate.com. That's not the letter. It's like Tom and Josh's favorite magazine. ELLERealestate.com. And Natalie Letterly in United Country, Natalie L. Real Estate. Call her first, call her last, but call her. Make her part of any real estate conversation you are having. All right, we are back here on the Gary Snyder Show. All right, Tom, game two. What's the weather supposed to be like tomorrow for game two?
Well, I think the weather's going to be much better for game two, and at least we would hope so. Anyway, I think that the and you know what, I here I am again trying to move around in ways that I shouldn't move around, Gary. I did not know you were going to ask me that question. I'm trying to pull a Gary Snyder, and I'm winging it, brother.
Hey, that's what makes for great radio.
It is.
Or terrible radio. It depends on, I guess, how you view radio.
Well, I thought, you know, I had it right here with me, but that's okay. Josh, have you heard the what's the weather's going to be like tomorrow, game two?
Well, the weather's going to be great tonight for game number two. Game number two starts in about 2 hours and 15 minutes from tonight, as tomorrow's the travel day to get to Texas for game number three. I believe it'll still be cold and blustery in St. Louis tonight. And Tom, stop trying to be like Gary. There's only one Gary L. Snyder.
Yeah, and leave it up to Josh. Always leave it to Josh to show us up and point out where we're going wrong. And, yeah, he is right there, Tom. You can't be me.
Well, I can't be. I'm just going to go back to being El Presidente. The improbable run by the St. Louis Cardinals are largely due to the remarkable work of the relief corps. And we talked about this here on the show, that you win postseason games from your bullpen. And I tell you what, here's a little bit. I'm going to go back to my notes, and we'll compare. Which Tom did you like better, the Gary Tom or the Tom Tom? The Tom Tom, see, now that's directional speaking right there. The Tom Tom, it'll sneak into you there. And our listeners are already laughing because they are so far advanced than us, Gary. But the Cardinals have won Game 1 of a World Series in six previous times, in 1934, 1964, and 1967, and yes, again in 2006. They won Game 1 and went on to win the World Series. Three of the four went seven games. That's exactly what I was talking about, and that happened in 1968 and in 1985. They lost the World Series, blowing a 3-1 lead in each instance. The Rangers have won Game 2 of a postseason series in four of the last five postseason series in which they played. The lone loss came in Game 2 of the 2010 World Series against the San Francisco Giants, but the pitcher starting for the Ranger, Colby Lewis, has the team's only World Series win to date. Now, the matchup of the game tonight is Garcia and Cruz. The Cardinals pitch Cruz to perfection in Game 1 of the World Series. Of the 20 pitches Cruz saw in the series opener, none of them were thrown on the inside, defined as on the owner third of the plate closer to him. Remember that Cruz hammered inside pitches for five of his six home runs in the ALS win against the Tigers. And the Rays avoided the pitching him on the inside ALDS, a series in which Cruz went 1-for-15. So I'm just saying, Josh, what are the keys to the night's game in Game 2 so the Cardinals can get yet another win?
Game would be Texas needs to come out and get an early lead. I believe Texas has a better pitcher on the mound tonight. St. Louis really needs to go down to Texas up 2-0. And Tom keeps talking about how this game's going to go seven series. If St. Louis wins tonight, the series will be over in four, and there's nothing Texas can do about it.
And there's the bold prediction of the day.
Saying if they go up 2-0 tonight, it's done, don't even show up, series over, hand the Cardinals the World Series trophy.
Yep, that's exactly what I'm saying. If St. Louis goes up 2-0, the fat lady is sung.
The fat lady is sung, and he's not even talking about his prom date, Gary. I'm just kidding. Josh didn't have a prom date. What are you talking about? He didn't even know what prom is. But really,
yeah, I was kind of surprised when you said that.
I think we all were. But here's the thing. You know me and my quirky stats or my unbelievable knowledge that I have on things that don't really matter. Albert Pujols.
Or your ability to use Google.
I really know how to use Google. I'm a Google kind of guy. Don't give away all my secrets, man. Come on, save something for prom night. Albert Pujols has a heck of a history in Game 2 of postseason series. Pujols was 4-for-5 and 4 extra base hits in the 12-3 win over the Milwaukee Brewers in the NLCS. That up Pujols' Game 2 batting average to .463, 25-for-54 with 4 home runs and 12 RBIs and 14 games. Can I just say one thing about Albert Pujols? I am not worthy. I am not worthy. You step on holy ground when Albert Pujols is around. Dang! Come on! Where's the music? Come on, man! Come on, man! Where's the music? That was a good rap, and I planned and rehearsed that. You got nothing.
And that was evident.
Josh, running out of time here. With
you've been sad sack.
You can't sad sack me. It's my sack. You can't sad it. See, we really got to get our
list. Sometimes I sit here and I really question whether to bring you two on was probably one of my better decisions.
I believe it was. I think that we're a comedy of errors, but at the same time, we make you look good, Gary. That and your wife.
That you do. That you do.
All right. You know, stick around here for the next half hour. Josh and I are going to be live. I don't know if Gary, if you can join us. But at 6:30, we're going to play the second hour of the Gary Snyder Show. And, Gary, you couldn't
quite
get it out.
That would be hour plus. I think it actually – hold on a minute. See, I forgot to stop recording. So it's actually – actually, 1 hour and 14 seconds. So it's up to you on how you want to do it.
You know what's great.
And that
about...
will actually feature Abdul Hakim Shabazz of IndyPolitics.org and Pete Seat, former White House spokesman and current Indiana State Republican Party communications director.
And Kurt will be on that as well, right?
No, he will not.
So we lost. You mean the whole cheese I said about Kurt Cavan? We lost that whole interview. That's okay.
We did because you told me I only had an hour, and I had recorded the second hour of the show. See, while technology may be pretty awesome, sometimes communication isn't.
Hey, that's all right. That sounds like my marriage sometimes. No. My wife is pretty awesome, but the communication there isn't always the best. I'll just say this, fire alarms, okay? And I'll just let our listeners figure that one out all by themselves. So
I'm not
battery.
You know, I have problems with my own fire alarms and getting batteries changed. So have to say about that. But I want to thank all of our guests. You guys got anything? You got about 30 seconds apiece in closing.
Josh, I yield my 30 seconds to you because you have no smoke alarm battery issue. So go ahead. 60-second timeout, Josh.
Well, first of all, make sure you tune in to watch game number 2 of the World Series tonight between the Cardinals and the Rangers. And I personally want to say what an honor it is to be part of the Gary L. Snyder Show here on the Balanced Radio Network, Monday through Friday, 5 to 6. And I can't wait to hear Gary's breakdown of the Notre Dame-USC game this Saturday. And I know Gary's got to be pumped up for that game.
I am super pumped. And, Josh, if you want a mug, all you have to do is ask.
Well, there you go. And Balance Network listeners, Balance Radio Network, just stay right here. We're going to be live for another half hour, and then we're going to play the last hour of the Gary Snyder Show. And it is an hour you do not want to miss. It's an hour you'll never be able to get back, but it is an hour.
I want to thank all of our guests today. That would be Huntington North head football coach Reef Gill, Lieutenant Justin Fall from the Marion Police Department, Pete Seat, former White House spokesman and current Indiana State Republican Party communications director, Abdul Hakim Shabazz, and Kurt Cavan, which you will not be able to hear on the recording. Tomorrow, Jimmy the intern is in, breaking down the IU game this weekend. I'll have previews of Notre Dame, USC, and Purdue, Illinois, right here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Boo!
Boo!
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It's wonderful.
Oh, bravo.
More!
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 All right, welcome back to the Ballots Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. For the next 30 minutes, you're going solo with myself and $2 Bill Josh. Josh, real quickly, we haven't heard the two-minute rant in a while, so let's go ahead and give me the two-minute rant, whatever's on your mind. We got 29 minutes of live radio right here on the Ballots Radio Network.
Well, what's been bothering me a little bit lately is the Indianapolis Colts. Tom, I went ahead and I ordered you a birthday present because I know your birthday's Sunday. And I know for your birthday you would really like an Indianapolis Colts win over the St. Louis Cardinals. The funny thing is when I ordered it, Bill Polian acted like he had no idea what was going on with his own football team. Oh, wait. That's because Bill Polian has no idea what's going on with his own football team. He doesn't even know who the starting quarterback is. And that, Colts fans, is a shame. Bill Polian needs to stop disrespecting the Bounce and JMV and all the other local media. JMV's on 1070 The Fan. And start telling us the truth. I don't know, Tom. Does it bother you as much as it does me? He seems to be clueless about the team. And even when he does make his idiotic remarks, he makes it to the national media.
Well, here's the thing. Quite simply, I think it's not that Bill Polian is clueless. I just think that for whatever reason, and we talked with Phil W. Wilson here, and obviously we've had a lot going on this week with the passing of Dan Weldon. We haven't really had an opportunity to dive down in and talk to very much Colts football, which we're going to be able to do that here in the next 30 minutes, obviously on the Balance Gridiron as well on Saturday morning between 9 and 11 right here on the Balance Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. But I just think really what it amounts to is for whatever reason, Bill Polian feels like he needs to give the scoop to the national media and so forth. But we'll certainly get more into that, obviously. And I want to spend some time talking a little bit about the Colts and the Saints and some of the positive things that are going on with the Colts. And, you know, we focus on the negative a lot here on the media, but I think there's a lot of positive things that are going on. And obviously, Curtis Painter is one of those things, but it's going on positive. And here's the thing, guys. I think that I actually am the only guy that said, hey, Curtis Painter, everybody's being too hard on Curtis Painter. And now that Curtis Painter's doing better, I will say he's doing so terrific. Obviously, he's got to win the big games. And what a bigger game than the Colts and the Saints. Don't know if that's actually going to happen. But one thing is for sure that I was in the corner of Curtis Painter for a long time. So, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. When we get back, Josh and I are going to break down the Colts-Saints game. If you've got anything you want to talk to us about regarding the Colts or the Saints or anything sports or anything at all for that matter, you can give us a call, 917-889-8516. That's 917-889-8516. We'll be right back on the Balance Radio Network. Yep, this is the Balance.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
All right. That's our cue. And that means it must mean one thing and one thing only. We're going to talk some Indianapolis Colts right here on the Balance Radio Network. I'm El Presidente. Right alongside me is the guy with his very own jersey, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. All right, Josh, real quickly. Well, not real quickly. You can take as long as you want, because we've got an extra 30 minutes today. But I tell you what, life is always interesting right here in the Balance Studios, that's for sure. But some of the positive things that are coming out of the Colts camp before we dive into this preview of the Saints and the Colts this Sunday.
Some of the positive things, the development of young offensive linemen. Yes, it might have cost us a few games or a few sacks here and there, but in the long run, one bad season out of the offensive line will be worth it in the future. Curtis Painter's making himself look like a viable backup. I still don't know if he's an every-game starting quarterback. DeLon Carter's looking really good. The development of our young linebackers, Tom, have you noticed we look like we might have the best young linebacking core in the National Football League? It's giving Indianapolis Colts fans a taste of what it could be like in the future. And for the most part, congratulations, Colts fans. We may be the only fans who, when our team goes 0-6, we still sell Lucas Oil Stadium. We're still there. We still all leave with barely any voice left. We still all have it on our TV. Tom, do you think if the Patriots went 0-6, they would still sell Gillette Stadium? I sure don't think they would.
I do. I mean, they're the Patriots. There's some teams that I think would always sell out no matter what. The Green Bay Packers, the New England Patriots. I think that those teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers, of course, the Indianapolis Colts are proving that that's the case, would still sell out no matter what. All right, guys, we're going to dive right into this. This Sunday, probably one of the toughest, at least for this year anyway, one of the toughest opponents that the Colts have had, and that's the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, that's Peyton Manning's hometown, and I don't know how much of a homecoming it's going to be for him. He might rather be on the Saints sideline. At least he knows that he could get a win. No, I'm just kidding. But I think really here's the thing. Obviously, they're going in as the underdog. I mean, the Vegas guys are giving New Orleans 14 points. And I tell you what, though, the record spread is Colts 2-4 and Saints 3-3. So the series record, really, believe it or not, when you look at it on paper, it's not as bad going in if we could just exclude what's already happened this year so far with the Indianapolis Colts. If we could just put a big X or, hey, let's just say it, guys, let's put an asterisk mark around the 2011 season. I wish that was possible. Obviously, the last meeting when the Colts beat the Saints 41-10 September 6th, 2007. Now, I'm talking regular season. I'm not talking about, obviously, we met them in the Super Bowl. That's a completely different story than what I'm talking about. Okay, now the Colts lost to the Bengals 27-17, and the Saints lost to the Bucs 26-20. Now, I'm just saying that it's not as bad as it looks like on paper. And really, this is going to come down to, well, maybe not a complete rematch, Josh, but this game is a rematch of the 2010 Super Bowl in Miami, and which obviously New Orleans won 31-17. Colts have beaten the Saints two straight regular season meetings, both with Peyton Manning, which obviously we know very well, is our injured quarterback. Running back Donald Brown, who scored his first touchdown rushing of last week, is averaging 5.6 yards per carry in the past two games. And I tell you one thing, another hometowner guy coming home is Reggie Wayne, and he had seven catches for 115 yards with two touchdowns in last regular season game against the Saints. So Josh, real quickly, let's talk about those two guys, which could have a very key role in Sunday's game. First of all, let's talk about Donald Brown on Sunday. What are your thoughts?
I think Donald Brown will continue to play. I don't think he'll start it, but I think he'll continue to get carries and be productive. And let's be honest, if you're a Donald Brown fan and you like him as a member of the Indianapolis Colts, he has to be productive. Out of any other running back on the team, Donald Brown's job is the one in most jeopardy of not being there next year. I don't know if he'll continue to average 6 yards to carry, but I believe he'll still be productive.
Right, and so what are your thoughts now of Reggie Wayne?
I think you finally saw Painter and Reggie Wayne get it going on Sunday against the Bengals. True, the Colts lost that game. But I'm going to go ahead and say, since this is where sports and politics meet, the Colts are going to shock the Saints, kind of like Sarah Palin, quote, shock America.
You just have to reach to the Sarah Palin bucket, don't you? Hey, you know, Kane's going to be here in Indianapolis, obviously pitching his 999. Obviously, and you guys are going to hear this in the second hour with Abdul talking a lot about what's going on in politics, what the state Republican dinners here in Indianapolis this weekend, and a lot that's going on. But Senator Kane, not Senator Kane, he's not a senator, but Kane's going to be here talking about his 999 campaign. Obviously, there's a lot of jokes going around about it being dyslexic 666. But, Josh, what are your thoughts about 999?
I actually like Herman Kane, and apparently so does most of America now, but there are several polls to show him either tied with Romney or ahead of Mitt Romney. But let's get back to the Colts Saints and say the politics for the Gary Snyder Show.
I agree 100%. So Reggie Wayne and Curtis Painter, they're starting to gel a little bit better. Obviously, his favorite student is Pierre Garçon, which tied a career high with 8 receptions last week. And I tell you what, talk about guys making guys look good. Curtis Painter is really making Pierre Garçon look good. You know the old saying, behind every good man's a good woman. Well, behind every good wide receiver is a good quarterback. And that Curtis Painter Pierre Garçon connection continues to move forward. And Garçon has had 21 catches for 405 yards and 4 touchdowns. So, Josh, what are your thoughts on those two?
I think, like I said several times before, Pierre Garçon is Curtis Painter's Marvin Harrison. And Garçon, when you sign your new big, fat, lucrative contract at the end of the year, make sure you take care of Curtis Painter. Put a little bit of that cheese in his pocket.
Okay. Well, Curtis Painter's getting $3 million a year. How much more cheese does he need?
He deserves at least 20% of whatever Garçon gets because he's making him look like an all-star.
What is he, his freaking agent? Well, we're talking coach football, and we got about another 15 minutes before we replay the second hour of the Gary Snyder Show. You can give us a call, 917-889-8516. We'd love to talk with you about your thoughts on the Indianapolis Colts and the Saints, about anything with the NFL, or really, as we've proven on this show, you can talk to us about just about anything. Right, well, let's go on the other side of the line there, and let's talk a little bit about the defensive line. Dwight Freeney needs 1.5 sacks to become the 26th player with 100 in career since stat became official in 1982. I'm done with the notes for today. I can't even read my own handwriting. But anyway, Saints quarterback Drew Brees, which obviously went to Purdue, got that Indiana connection. The 360s going all over the place on this game. And Saints quarterback Drew Brees has passed for 350-plus yards in 4 straight games, the longest such streak in the NFL. Breeze also has set an NFL record with 20-plus completions in 26 straight. All right, Josh. Dwight Freeney meets Drew Breeze. Obviously, these two are very key veterans of the game. They know each other very well. So can Dwight Freeney get to Drew Breeze? Is Dwight Freeney going to mess up Drew Breeze's game on Sunday, Josh?
I'm going to have to say no. Freeney couldn't get to Breeze when they were both in college. Freeney couldn't get to Breeze in the Super Bowl. But the defensive line needs to step up. You know, everybody's making a big deal of Pat Anger and Cavell Connor, our two young linebackers, leading the NFL in tackles. The only problem with that is they're never allowed to go to the sideline to get a break. And the reason is they're constantly have to clean up Bryant's mess.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit more about the tight end situation. Obviously, Dallas Clark starting to get his groove back a little bit, or mojo. I said mojo way too much, so we'll just call it the groove. Dallas got his groove back, although they're at the very beginning of the game. Looks like, you know, I don't know what's going on with him, but also tight end Jimmy Grant is the second tight end in NFL history with 100-plus yards receiving in four straight games in the same season. Josh, what are your thoughts on Graham? Obviously, Graham leads the NFL tight ends with 39 catches and 629 yards receiving. Graham Clark, what are your thoughts?
Clark, who keeps dropping and fumbling the football. Although I'll give him credit in the fourth quarter, it looked like Dallas Clark was finally back. So maybe his hands no longer bothering, but they're both two all-pro tight ends.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, you know, here's the thing. I think that the Colts, you know, I've said this before, but I think that the Colts have what a great storyline it would be if the Colts could pull off a win in New Orleans, mind you, in spite of it all, in spite of everything that's going on, and go in there and show the world that they could still play Colt football and beat the best of them. When they're not supposed to, Josh, wouldn't that be a great story for Monday?
That would be a fabulous story on Sunday. And, Thomas, what I ordered you for your birthday. Now let's see if Curtis Painter and the boys can deliver.
All right. Well, we'll see. And, obviously, it's a big maybe. But I think the Colts, if they could just go in there and play and execute as a team, you know, I think we'd be surprised at what they could do together as a team. And here's some other things they're talking about the Colts. You know, bring up the name Darren Sproles around the Colts, and the mood completely changes. Some players get wide-eyed, deer in the head, just roll their eyes. All know what he has done and what he hasn't. The Colts will face one of their greatest postseason tormentors Sunday night when they try to catch the needy New Orleans running back who wreaked havoc against Indy in two playoff games while he played for the San Diego Chargers. Josh Sproles, is he going to be an issue on Sunday?
He probably will be a thorn in our side again, but can I just say I flat out hate Darren Sproles. I know it's wrong to hate people, but I cannot stand that kid.
Okay, why? Is it because you're a Colts fan?
It's solely because I'm a Colts fan. Now, he's a really great guy. And from what I've seen of him on interviews, he's a really classy guy. But as a Colts fan, I cannot stand him.
So you hate someone as a person because they don't wear the uniform. Now, if he was a Colt running back, he'd probably think he was the greatest thing since peanut butter and jelly.
Absolutely. I don't hate him as a person. I hate him as a player.
Oh, okay. I got you. Dude, man, you're going to get sad sight before the end of the show. I see it coming. All right, well, you know, obviously a good friend of the show here, and he's been on here a couple times, Phil B. Wilson, talked about in his blog today that the Saints would pull it off 34-17. He made the comment in his blog, and I don't know if you read it or not, but he basically said, remember when the Colts used to play football like it was some sort of video game? Well, the Saints still do, and that means Sunday night show on NBC might become one-sided shortly after the announcers try to convince us that the Colts could stay in this game. But even if the bad Saints show up, which means Drew Brees throws some picks and Dwight Freeney gets to him, it gets in his face with a couple of one-handed sacks like, said Sheck, you know, he still thinks that they're going to win.
My question for Phil B. Wilson is, where's the faith at, man? Come on. No, in all seriousness, though, the Saints probably will win this game. I'm going to say the score is 45-14 Saints, just because they're that much better than our defense right now.
Okay, on the line with us now is the caller. Who's this? Hi, caller, who's this? Are you with us, caller? Maybe he's not with us. Hello, caller, are you with us? All right, well, we lost our caller. I'm not sure. If you could call us back, 917-889-8516, and we'd love to have you here on The Balance and talk a little Colts football with us. Chime in on the conversation. Again, that number is 917-889-8516. If we lost you, just give us a call back, and we'll try to get you back on. We'd love to have you. So, you know, going back to Phil, Josh, on what he was saying in his blog, he said, why bother watching? And I'm quoting his blog now. He says, why bother watching? Because Curtis Painter has given the Colts a chance in each of the three starts. As strange as that sounds, given the backup struggles in the past, he's played well enough to keep his teams in the game in the fourth quarter. It's not his fault. Pierre Cassant coughed up the ball late in a fumble return touchdown that clinched the Bengals' victory, 27-17 victory, last week at Cincinnati. Oh, and yours truly had that score picked perfectly. That's from our good friend of the show here, Philip B. Wilson. And if you've never checked his work out, I tell you what, it's a great, entertaining blog, but true, he doesn't spare anybody's feelings. He goes after what he sees and foresees the truth. All right, Josh, what are your thoughts? I don't know if you've had a chance to read Phil's blog, but what are your thoughts when he talks about Curtis Painter like that?
Well, you got to agree, Curtis Painter gives us a chance. He just hasn't proven he's enough of a man or an NFL quarterback to win a game yet. Right now, he's still a good quarterback, but he's still Jeff George Light.
Okay. I love how Josh just drops something in there and just like lets it go. Josh, that's why you never had a prom date. I'm just kidding. Anyway, quarterback Curtis Painter, once questioned. I'm still kind of on the Indy Star blog area there, but Curtis Painter once questioned as far as being worthy of an NFL roster spot has shown that he can keep up the Colts' competitive edge. Really, Josh, are we saying that? Is the media changing their tune? Are they saying that Curtis Painter is what has kept us in the game? What are your thoughts? Josh. All right, Josh, are you with us? All right, well, we've kind of maybe lost Josh. We've got about 5 minutes left. You can give us a call if you want to talk Colts. 917-889-8516. Josh, are you with us? Josh, are you
yes,
with
I'm
us?
Here. Yeah, I'm here. I just having a bit of technical difficulties. I'm sorry to hear what the question was, Tom.
What were you doing? Ordering a Big Mac number 7 extra large? Did the drive-thru?
That sound good.
All right. Now, what I was saying was I was actually reading another quote off of IndyStar.com. It said, quarterback Curtis Painter once questioned as being a worthy of an NFL roster spot has shown that he could keep the Colts competitive. He's thrown 5 touchdown passes and 1 interception. So what they're saying is that the Colts have kept their competitive edge. And the Colts have been in every game because of Curtis Painter. Is the media changing their tune of Curtis Painter?
Well, the rest of us media is changing our tune on Curtis Painter. There's one person, only one person, only one reporter in the world who said Curtis Painter was a good quality NFL quarterback. And that, sir, is why you were the title El Presidente.
That's right, absolutely. And, you know, way back early, when everybody was all, oh, Peyton Manning will be back, you know, Curtis Painter's something, he's just a clipboard holder. Yep. I say in my air quotes, y'all, every one of you, Ben Sadsack, every one of you. All right, real quickly, we got about 5 more minutes before we run the second hour of the Gary Snyder Show. We're Abdul in the morning, or formerly Abdul in the morning, breaks down some of the GOP contenders for the presidential bid. Me and myself and Gary talked with Abdul for a little bit. He talks a little Gaddafi. He talks a little politics. Obviously, he's got the inside scoop on Indiana politics and the national politics as well. And Pete Seek will be on talking about, obviously, the GOP position as well. So you want to stick around right here at 6:30 for the rebroadcast of hour number 2 of the Gary Snyder Show. Well, right now, it's the balance. Got about 5 minutes left. We're talking Colts. We're breaking it down a little bit for you. The Saints run offense versus the Colts run defense. Josh, quickly, what are your thoughts?
I think the Colts are going to shut down the Saints run defense because I'm warning Mr. Very Angry Pat Inger.
Is that all you got? That's all you got. It's because of one Mr. Pat Inger. Well, I'll tell you one thing. While New Orleans drafted former Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram of Alabama, it also added a proven competitor via free agency, as we just talked about. Spoils, Ingram leads the Saints with 238 yards and 3 touchdowns, but Spoils is averaging 7 yards per carry and has a team-best 34-yard rush. Colts linebackers, Anger. Hey, Josh, Pat Anger, there he is. Look, don't look now. And Cavill, Connor are 1 or 2 in the league in tackles. But that's not such a good thing. And I give the edge to the Saints on this one. I really do, guys. Well, I tell you what, we got just a little bit of time left here. And one of the two things I want to talk about, and obviously Josh and I talk about the coaches a lot, but coaches, who has the edge in this game? Saints coach Sean Payton will forever be known for having the guts to call on an inside-outside kick, inside blue kick, whatever you want to call it, at the beginning of the second half against the Colts of the Super Bowl. The Saints recovered and rallied to win. It's possible just reaching that game could be the high point of Coach Jim Caldwell's coaching career. The Colts' third-year coach is 10-14 since that loss. His latest team is winless. Going nowhere, buddy, going nowhere. Fans and media are calling for him to be fired. Josh, should Jim Caldwell be fired? You're a couple years late on this. You were wanting to get T-shirts and coffee mugs a couple years ago. Fire Jim Caldwell. Oh, no, don't fire him. Fire him. No, don't fire him. Fire him. Buy, sell. Josh, fire him, keep him.
You only fire Jim Caldwell if you can get a big-name coach to come replace him. I know a lot of Colts fans, myself included, have asked what's up with Dungy and Irsay having weekly dinners and dinners in Tampa Bay and going out to dinner and schmoozing and riding in jet planes and all this fancy stuff together. I don't really know if there's anything there. But what separates Sean Payton from Jim Caldwell is guts, intestinal fortitude, and another phrase I'm not allowed to use because there's little kids that might be listening to this radio show. Those three things, though, separate Sean Payton from Jim Caldwell.
Okay. Well, guys, that's going to do it. We're going to join in the last hour of the show here. We are going to, don't run off yet, Josh, but we're going to rebroadcast the second hour of the Gary Snyder Show. And obviously, Abdul's going to be on, and Pete Seat's going to be on. And just the way that Gary Snyder can do it for you is going to be on. I personally am going to get off the air here and go have a birthday dinner at the Outback with my wife. And I'm gearing up for some prime rib. But, Josh, real quickly, coming up here, on Saturday. We've got a great coach, and I'm really proud to have him on the show. A lot of local media aren't talking to him. A lot of national media aren't talking to him. But he's starting to get the look of the national media, and he is really doing a lot of good things at a little small college here in Indianapolis, Miriam University. Talk to us a little bit about our special guest on Saturday morning.
Well, Saturday we're going to have head coach Ted Karras Jr. of the Marion University Knights, who are ranked number 2 in the country on. We're also going to talk Notre Dame, USC, IU, Purdue football. Until then, I'm $2 Bill Josh. I'll rejoin you guys on Saturday.
All righty, Mr. Josh, out of here. Always $2 Bill Josh. Guys, I'm going to be out of here, too. Like I said, going to go have my birthday dinner at the Outback. So good to have you guys along every day right here on the Blog Talk Radio, on the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. And coming up next, the second hour of the Gary Snyder Show. Two great guests, Pete C. and Abdul. Might remember from Abdul in the morning right here in Indianapolis. Well, we'll be right back. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm out of here.
First Century Firearms. They're at 827 North Main Street in Bluffton, and they are your one stop for firearms, ammunition, and reloading supplies. Stop in and talk to their friendly staff with years of experience in hunting, the shooting sports, and military-style firearms. They carry a big selection of modern sporting firearms, handguns, and shotguns with one of the biggest inventories around at the best prices, period. They also deal in NFA items such as silencers, short-barreled rifles, and yes, you can even buy a machine gun from 21st Century Firearms. Check them out online, 21stCenturyFirearms.com, or you can shop them online at shop.21stCenturyFirearms.com. Store hours are 10 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturdays are open from 9 to 4. Any questions, give them a call, 260-824-5530.
When you want no holds barred talk, you want the Gary Snyder Show, weekdays from 3 to 6 here on WBAT Marion.
Not, I am still alive. Ebola has not taken me yet. This is the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Let me just give you a little heads up of what we have coming up right now, here in just, I don't know, 30 seconds, maybe a minute. Pete C., former White House spokesman and current Indiana State Republican Party communications director, will break down the Republican smackdown. I think we can call it a smackdown. From Tuesday night, I think the only thing missing from Tuesday night's debate was maybe a paternity test. I think that was about it. The bottom of this hour, Abdul Hakim Shabazz, editor-in-chief of IndyPolitics.org, makes his weekly appearance. He will give us the latest from the Indiana political grapevine. Next hour, Kurt Cavan covers auto racing for the IndyStar.com. He joins us to give us the latest on the death of Dan Weldon. Yes, we're still talking about that. That is huge. And even in my mind, that's probably bigger than the Dale Earnhardt death. Ooh, but I just irked off all of our NASCAR listeners out there. All right. But without further ado, we are joined by Pete Seat. He is the Indiana State Republican Party Communications Director. Pete, welcome.
Good afternoon, Gary. How you doing?
I am fighting some strange foreign disease here. My wife just says it's a cold, but, you know, who knows?
It is. You're isolated in a radio studio and not anywhere near the general public.
You know, most people, though, if you talk to them, may prefer that I'm out in public and not here on the radio.
Fair enough.
Well, hey, let's talk about the debate Tuesday night. And I know you couldn't make it yesterday because you had a real weird story. Would you like to share that with us real quick?
Sure. I walked out. Now, quick background, about 3 weeks ago, I wrecked my car. So I'm driving another family member's car in the meantime while mine is getting fixed. And I walked out of my place yesterday morning and found the trunk wide open and a case of water, bottled water that I had in the trunk was gone. The driver's side window was smashed in, but an iPod and a fairly expensive jacket were both still in the car. The only thing they took was the case of water, which just baffles me. It's absolutely baffling that's what they would take. But, you know, if they were thirsty, I hope it helped quench their thirst.
You know, we were talking off air that, you know, if you're going to break into a car, you think that someone's threshold for prison is maybe a little higher than a $4 or $5 case of water.
You know what, though? I mean, the prices of things, thanks to Barack Obama, the price of water. it just doesn't make any sense to me. But everything is good and set, and glad we were able to make this happen today.
I like the way you worked the president in there.
I had to, right?
Well, give us your impressions from the debate on Tuesday night. It appeared that, you know, going into the debate, I guess most pundits were saying Rick Perry had to show some signs of life. Well, he did, but, you know, I don't think he needed to drink a case of Red Bull before he went on stage, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the line from pundits for the last couple of debates, is that Rick Perry needs to show those signs of life, as you said. And, you know, Las Vegas lived up to its billing as the entertainment capital of the world the other night. I mean, it was a lively debate. Talk about night and day between that Bloomberg, that very sleepy Bloomberg debate where they were all seated around a round table with Charlie Rose, compared to Tuesday night when they were really, I mean, you can say, you know, they almost came to blows and mean it literally in the case of the Tuesday night where you had Mitt Romney place his hand on Rick Perry at one point. And it really did look like Rick Perry was about to blow his top and clock Mitt Romney. He was not thrilled about how that exchange went, but it was certainly entertaining to watch. And I know the media loved it. I mean, if you just watch the Twitter feeds of some of the reporters in D.C., they were loving every single minute.
Oh, and it was definitely a lively debate, even from the start, where they were announcing the candidates, and I wasn't sure if I was watching a basketball game introduction or debate introduction.
Yeah, at center, 6 foot. It is funny the way they introduced the candidates in those. But, yeah, you know, and then they started off. One thing that's been kind of driving me crazy about these debates is rather than focusing on jobs and the economy, you know, they try and bring up the most controversial issue at the forefront of the debate, and in this instance, it was Herman Cain's 999 plan. It's the first thing that came out of the gate. It was a question from a member of the audience, and it really set the tone where people were just picking apart the 999 plan, and it seemed that Herman Cain was almost annoyed by the scrutiny. I mean, he kept just saying, go to HermanCain.com. Our analysis is there. And, of course, rightfully so, the other candidates are thinking, well, your analysis is essentially political propaganda. You know, we're looking at analyses from independent sources that are saying your plan doesn't pass muster. So it was very interesting to see how everyone was so quick to start picking that plan apart.
You know, and going into this debate, we thought that Herman Cain would be the focus of the debate. And he was at the beginning. You know, is it a value-added tax? Is it not? Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. That's basically about what we got the first 15, 20 minutes of the debate.
Yeah, and then you had Kane, you know, using the apples and oranges metaphor to say, you know, you're talking about state sales tax and federal sales tax, it's apples and oranges. And then you have Mitt Romney come back and say, well, essentially what you're telling me is I'm going to have a bushel full of apples and oranges, because here in a state like Indiana, 7% state sales tax, you will add on top of that a 9% federal sales tax, a national sales tax. So, you know, yeah, like you said, he thought Herman Cain was going to be a real focal point, but once that 999 discussion was out of the way, Herman Cain almost receded into the background of that debate and was really a non-player, I guess, for the rest of it. And especially at the end when they started getting into the foreign policy questions, it's really, he's got a tough hill to climb when it comes to foreign policy and international issues. You can't just brush those off. If you're going to be the commander-in-chief, the diplomat-in-chief of this country, you cannot brush off foreign policy.
And as Herman faded into the background, please step forward, Rick Perry and Mitt Romney.
And that's what happened, like with that exchange I mentioned earlier. Rick Perry came out guns a-blazing. I guess that's an appropriate term to use for someone from Texas. And, you know, you made the Red Bull comment. I mean, it seemed like no matter what, Rick Perry was ginned up when he walked out on that stage to start fighting, rhetorically speaking, not literally, but...
Well, almost literally.
Well, almost literally. I mean, you watch. There are a couple of photo montages, collages, if you will, online of that moment, that exchange when Mitt Romney put his hand on Rick Perry's shoulder, and just the look in Rick Perry's face. You could tell he was angry and not happy. I know the Romney campaign has been referring to it as Rick Perry's road rage. Because they're trying to make this case that Rick Perry's not a nice guy, and that came out in the debate. Because you continually have these instances where people were trying to talk over each other, and no one would just stop talking. And Anderson Cooper wasn't getting in, it wasn't butting in, kind of let them all go at it. But that exchange between Mitt Romney and Rick Perry regarding Romney having hired a company that had illegal immigrants on its payroll mowing his lawn was something that was, you know, it was a rehashed point from the 2008 campaign, but that's really what set off that very testy exchange between those two.
Yeah, Mitt seemed to get a little flustered over that, and, you know, that question kind of drew some boos from the audience. Now, obviously, those were probably Romney people. But, you know, is that a valid question to ask? Is a company that you hired hired illegal aliens? Are you responsible for that? Because if that's the case, I'm sure that most of us have been in a restaurant or somewhere that has had somebody illegal working in there.
Yeah, I mean, if you read some of the analysis following the debate, the Perry campaign is trying to bring up questions of Mitt Romney's character. They're trying to say, you know, he's well known as a flip-flopper, and now you can't trust this guy's character. He says one thing. He says that he is going to be strong on immigration and e-verify and protect the border. But then, on the other hand, he willingly, knowingly had illegal immigrants on his family's payroll, or not, I mean, he was paying them. So that's, you know, these campaigns are trying everything they can to beat up on each other. Now, the AP had a very interesting piece on how if you thought the Las Vegas debate was testy and energetic and entertaining by that standard, it is only going to escalate when these candidates that now have, you know, Mitt Romney's got about, what, $15 million in the bank. Rick Perry's got $17 million. You add in the super cash of $50, $60, $70 million on top of that, and these guys are going to, the air war is going to start on television sooner rather than later, I think, especially in the case of Rick Perry going after Mitt Romney. It's going to start soon, and it's going to get ugly.
Hey, Pete, can you hold on for a quick break?
You got it, man.
You're listening to the Gary Snyder Show here on 1400 WBAT.
WBAT. Did you know Stanley Steamer does more than just carpet cleaning? Call them today for all your tile and grout or hardwood flooring needs. That's Stanley Steamer, where we appreciate your business.
High school playoff football. It's time to see what Grant County has to offer. Is Eastbrook ready to flex its postseason muscle? Can Madison Grant, Mississinewa, or Oak Hill make a deep run? And what about the Giants?
Go to the 20, go to the 10. Thank you very much, Mr. Collins. You just went 79 yards on that touchdown.
Follow Grant County Tournament Football on 99.3 WCJC, 860 ESPN, and 1400 WBAT.
Newmarket's Meat Bonanza Sale. Ground beef, $1.99 a pound. Whole pork loin, $1.99 a pound. Boneless, skinless chicken breast, $1.99 a pound. Kellogg's cereal, $1.49. Butter, 2 for $6. Campbell's chicken or tomato soup, 2 for $1. Don't forget their 10 for $10 sale. Buns, a pound carrots, cucumbers, green peppers, chicken thighs or drumsticks. Shoppers value hot dogs, banquet value meals, Yoder salads, Hunt spaghetti sauce, Italian bread, brownie mix, toaster pastries, and much more. All 10 for $10, only at Newmarket's.
Applications for the Care and Share Holiday Food Distribution will be taken at the UAW Hall at 520 Bradner Avenue in Marion on Monday, October 24th and Tuesday, October 25th from 8 a.m. to noon and 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. All applications must have proof of all household income, a current receipt of address, Social Security numbers for all members in the household, and picture ID for the person applying. No exceptions to these rules. Dates again are Monday, October 24th and Tuesday, October 25th from 8 a.m. to noon and 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. for the Care and Share Holiday Food Distribution.
Hey, this is Mark Stein. You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
Joke downtown in the rain, 9:30 on a Tuesday, just to check out the late night record shop. Got it in Boston, got it in Boston, got it in Spain. When I'm through that, I just can't stop. It's a matter of instincts, a matter of conditioning, and a matter of fight. You can go where Pablo's are. Ring a bell and I'll salivate. How'd you like that? Dr. Landy, tell me, and I'm just a better girl. It's when I'm lying in bed, just like Brian Wilson did.
We're back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. We get right back to Pete's seat here in just a minute, but first, Schaefer's Indiana Turf, longtime sponsor here. They're up in Fort Wayne, and they are the place to go for all of your mowing needs this fall. And my guess is you still have at least a couple left. And all your snow removal needs this winter, including Ariens snow throw snow blowers, Gravely mowers, and, of course, they're still one of Indiana's largest Dixie Chopper dealers. Schaefer's Indiana Turf has been in business since 1929, and if you're doing the math, that's a really, really long time. Or if you're actually doing the math, that's over 82 years of serving Fort Wayne, Marion, Huntington, and the surrounding area. They still carry all the top brands, Ariens Snow Throw, Gravely and Hustler Mowers, Dixie Chopper, and they even have Echo Chainsaws and Leaf Blowers. And I'm going to bet you $100 you're going to need those leaf blowers here pretty darn soon. Keep in mind, it doesn't matter where you bought it or what brand it is. Schaefer's Indiana Turf can and will fix it in their state-of-the-art service center. Call them now. Ryan's still waiting. He texted me. He said, hey, Garrett, I need people to call me. 260-489-3391. Or you could visit their store at 5202 West Washington Center Road, just up the highway in Fort Wayne. You can visit them on the web at indianaturf.com. And remember the greatest tagline of all time. Remember, if you grow it, mow it, or blow it, Schaefer's can help. All right, we're talking with Pete Seat. He is the Indiana State Republican Party Communications Director. Well, let me ask you this. We had Herman Cain, we had Mitt and Perry going at it. Anybody else in your mind distinguish themselves on Tuesday night? Obviously, you know, in my opinion, we still had Newt over there being the policy wonk and sounding like the smartest person on the stage.
Well, I think I'll take this a little bit of a different direction. I think in the minds, perhaps, of New Hampshire voters, the one person that distinguished themselves the most was the one person that wasn't in the room, and that was John Huntsman.
Well, and you mentioned that, and a lot of people will say he's the winner of that debate.
Well, just by not showing up, yeah. I mean, you know, his if you follow his daughters, they have a joint Twitter account, and they said they had a very what I thought was funny and you know a good point for him to make perhaps was you see what happens when there's no adult in the room, and that's kind of been the message that he's trying to convey is that he is the quote unquote adult in the room, and when he's not there, you see what everybody's yelling at each other, no one can talk, they're all talking past each other, and things are getting heated. So I think that'll be something that you'll hear from him. And he, John Huntsman, held, I believe, two town hall meetings in New Hampshire about the same time as the debate, all well attended. And they're now circulating a petition in New Hampshire to have all the candidates boycott the Nevada caucuses. That's where this all stems from. So your listeners understand, this all stems from a boycott that John Huntsman is boycotting the Nevada caucuses because of when they scheduled it and how it interferes with New Hampshire's first-in-the-nation primary status. So it was an interesting strategy. It was probably the move that he had to make. He called it a, quote, Vegas bet. And it could very well pay off for him in New Hampshire.
And he's betting everything on New Hampshire, correct?
He's betting it all on New Hampshire. He's moved his presidential campaign headquarters from Orlando, Florida, to Manchester, New Hampshire. He is pretty much spending all of his time there doing the retail politics that really does sell there. And if you see polls coming from New Hampshire, he's been fairly consistently in the double digits, whereas nationally he's been consistently at 1-2%, if not an asterisk.
Well, when you take a look at this debate and compare them to some of the others, which do you prefer to see? One that's kind of feisty like this? Or one that we had with Charlie Rose, and that maybe you get a little more substance versus the fighting.
I mean, at the end of the day, you need to whittle down the field and get the best nominee to go up against Barack Obama, and part of that to me means having someone that is battle tested, that can stand strong on that stage, take the slings and arrows, send them back if they need to at the other candidates, because it's not going to be a cakewalk to debate Barack Obama on a general election stage. So there's a line, obviously, that can be crossed where it gets a little too testy, of course, but I think at this point it's a good thing for the process, and it helps get supporters of the candidates energized and engaged, and so that when we do have a nominee, we can coalesce around that individual and do what we need to do to make sure we replace Barack Obama after just one term.
You know, we had George Shultz on, former Secretary of State, last week, and, you know, we asked him during that interview, you know, as politics today become too divisive and too partisan and ask him about the state of politics, and you know, he was very blunt in saying, you know, he thinks it's become too partisan, too divisive, too negative. What do you think?
There's absolutely a case to be made for what Secretary Shultz was saying. I mean, I frequently get frustrated, you know, looking online on Facebook or what have you, when you know, you make a simple comment that Nancy Pelosi said X or Harry Reid said Y, and immediately the knee-jerk reaction of people commenting is send them to jail, prosecute them. You know, they're not committing a crime, they're just saying what they believe the policy should be. Now, we should disagree. They want Obamacare, I think it's wrong. They want to raise taxes, I think it's wrong. But that doesn't mean that we should start throwing people in jail. I mean, that's not what America is. We should be able to agree to disagree and have debates about the issues, but we don't have to get personal and quite frankly hateful about it at times. I think he makes a good point, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't have competitive primaries. I think there are two separate issues, and like I said earlier, there is a line that can be crossed and sometimes is crossed. But I think at the end of the day, competitive primaries are healthy for both parties so that they get the best battle-tested, ready-to-go, raring-to-go nominee.
Well, hey, Pete, we enjoy the conversation. We'll talk to you next week real quick. Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff.
You got it, indgop.org, Twitter/indgop.org, or indgop, Facebook, /indgop. And I'll just point out real quick, Gary, tomorrow we are honored, pleased, excited to host here in the Hoosier State Congressman Paul Ryan of Wisconsin. He is headlining our 2011 fall dinner. Republican National Committee Chairman Reince Priebus will also be there. It's going to be a great, great night. Hundreds of Hoosier Republicans are going to be in Indianapolis celebrating the victories that we've had over the past year and a half and looking forward to those to come.
Thanks a lot, Pete, and we'll talk to you next week.
Have a good one.
Pete Seat. All right, we'll be back after the bottom of the hour news with Abdul Hakeem Shabazz, right here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
There's a dream only you can dream, a life only you can live, a space only you can fill. That space is here at Indiana Wesleyan University. Our adult degree program offers accelerated degree options for working adults, with adult-friendly admissions, academic and financial aid services. IWU degree programs are personalized, professional, and principled. Courses are taught from a foundation rooted in Christian principles and ethics, and many IWU graduates become trusted leaders in area businesses. Courses are online, on campus, and right on the money, which is why Indiana Wesleyan has become the largest private university in Indiana.
Become a part of the next generation of leadership. Come fill the space and your potential at Indiana Wesleyan University. Find out more at IWUdegrees.com. That's IWUdegrees.com.
Listen to Good Morning Grand County all week for your chance to win tickets to Disney's Phineas and Ferb at the Memorial Coliseum in Fort Wayne on October 28th for the 4 o'clock show. Tim's giving away family four-packs all week, so listen for your chance to win. Brought to you by Kids Craze in Marion on the corner of 8th and the Bypass behind Medicap Pharmacy. Buying and selling children's items, even maternity clothes for mom. Kids Craze. Listen for your chance to win with Tim and Good Morning Grant County or visit Ticketmaster.com.
Every day, there are thousands of news types out there spouting off just to hear themselves talk. Or should I call them news hype? Avoid the talk show drama queen by listening to Good Morning Grant County and the Gary Snyder Show weekdays on WBAT. Our focus is others, the people we interview, and you, with your highly valued opinion. The Gary Snyder Show, 3 to 6 p.m. and Good Morning Grant County, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on 1400 WBAT. We keep you informed.
I'm so glad I went to Wesleyan Health and Rehab. Well, I got my sizzle back, feel like a kid again, even going surfing this weekend with the grandkids.
Those grandkids just have you going everywhere, Bob.
I even got my friends asking how they can get their sizzle back.
Well, I can help with that, Bob. Just tell them to call me at Wesleyan Health and Rehab, 674-3371, or come see me at 729 West 35th Street in Marion.
All right, Stephanie, meet you at the beach. Bring your surfboard. I got mine all waxed up, ready to go.
Bringing local news to Swayze, Amboy, and all of Grant County, we are 1400 WBAT.
From the 1400 WBAT newsroom, I'm Wes Finley. The decision to recommend closing Liberty Elementary School by Madison Grant Superintendent John Trout did not come easy. Trout said he crunched the numbers every way he could, but a decline in enrollment and rapidly declining state financial aid made the move inevitable. Trout said the state is not funding public and charter schools on an even playing field. Madison Grant is faced with a $1.3 million budget shortfall in 2012, and closing Liberty Elementary will save the system nearly $1 million just in the building's operating cost. But Trout says state law requires Madison Grant to maintain that building for at least 4 years in case someone wants to use it as a charter school. He also has suspicions that the state wants to force smaller rural districts like Madison Grant into consolidation talks. But through it all, Trout says his district will survive.
We got a great staff, great kids, great community. School board's tremendous. But we're dealing with some tough financial issues. We're going to be okay, and we're going to continue to make excellent the excellent school district. We have some lofty goals, and we're going to reach those. But it's also my job to educate the community on what the facts truly are when it comes to state funding for public schools.
Trout said inequities exist in school funding right now. He said 11 out of the top 12 districts in the state are charter schools and that receive more than $7,000 from the state per student. Meanwhile, Madison Grant only gets around $5,500 per student. The final decision on closing Liberty Elementary will come from the Madison Grant School Board in December. And a woman told police early yesterday morning that she stabbed her ex-boyfriend twice because he wouldn't let her leave her apartment. The woman told police that she gave permission for the man to visit her apartment in the 1400 block of East Bryant Court. However, once there, he wouldn't let her leave. The man also broke the woman's cell phone when she tried to call the police. She told officers she stabbed her ex once in the stomach and once in the shoulder with scissors. From the 1400 WBAT newsroom, I'm Weston Lee. The 1400 WBAT forecast for the rest of this afternoon, very cool with rain likely and very windy with gusts of up to 40 miles per hour, highs around 48. Tonight, cloudy and windy with rain ending, lows near 40, and Friday becoming mostly sunny, breezy and cool, highs around 55 degrees. You're listening to 1400 WBAT, your connection for sports, news, and information.
This is the Gary Snyder Show, and I am Andrew Breitbart. Sort of the king of all media.
There's a darkness upon me that's flooded in light. In the fine print they tell me what's wrong and what's right. And it comes in black and it comes in white, and I'm frightened by those who don't see it. Where nothing is owed, deserved, or expected. And your life doesn't change by the man that's elected.
We are back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Before we get back to our guests, which will include co-host Tom Marquis. He also hosts The Balance, and we will join his The Balance Radio Network a little bit later on. And also Abdul Hakim Shabazz, who has a little shindig. Can I say shindig? Happening tonight. I'm sure he'll tell us about it. But first, Freightco. They are a leading freight company in Northeast Indiana, and they are growing, and they want you. That's right. Freightco is looking for owner-operators who want miles and home time. If this sounds like you, then listen up. Freightco offers a 92-cent CPM. Plus, that's in addition to, all you Cardinal fans out there, a competitive FSC, and that's on all dispatches. Freightco drivers average 2,500-plus miles a week and are home on weekends. Freightco offers consistent lanes with many being drop and hook. So if you're looking for a company that puts customers and employees first, or you just want more information on what Freightco has to offer, give Ray a call. You better hurry up. He's going home here in a few minutes to eat dinner. 866-397-2581. Again, 866-397-2581. Or you can visit them on the web at freightco.org. Freightco. They are a freight moving company. Now, if you cannot remember all that, all you really need to remember is GaryLSnyder.com. That's it. If you, the only website you really ever need, except for IndyPolitics.org, which, by the way, editor-in-chief right now is on the line with us, Abdul Hakim Shabazz. Welcome, Abdul.
Hi, Gary, always good to talk to you. Hope everything is going up well in northern Indiana.
So far, so good. I've been telling people all day I've got some weird disease. I call it Ebola. My wife calls it a cold. I think she's probably more right than I am.
And I've seen pictures of your lovely wife, so I would be inclined to agree with you.
Also joining us is Tom Marquis. Tom, are you there?
Greetings and salutations.
Well, hey, Abdul, before we get into the meat of your interview, what do you have going on tonight? You have a pretty cool event happening down in Indianapolis at Eddie Merlot's, right?
Yeah, we do an event called Cocktails and Conversation, something I used to do with my former employer. Then we parted ways. We had a few more left to do, so we're at Eddie Merlot's on Realm, not too far from 96 and Keystone. So if you are managed to hear the Gary Snyder Show and you're in the neighborhood, we're here until 8 o'clock, so feel free to stop on by and buy me a cocktail.
And I do like Eddie Merlot's. We have one up here in Fort Wayne, but my favorite is still Sullivan's down there.
Well, Sullivan's, they are also good friends, too, so we try to spread the love whenever we can.
Well, hey, we have quite a bit to talk about. We have some a big guest coming to town tomorrow. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, for some strange reason, tomorrow night, Indiana becomes a semi-political center of the universe. Herman Cain will be here, Republican presidential candidate, who actually, latest poll numbers in Iowa, have him at 28%, Mitt Romney at 21%. So he's sort of near semi unofficial front-runner status as far as the Republican race goes. He'll be the keynote speaker at the Beefsteak Dinner at the Columbia Club. I'm a member, and I tend to MC the event, so we're looking forward to having Mr. Cain come out tomorrow night and speak. Now, that's in downtown Indianapolis. On the north side, in Carmel, will be the Republican State Dinner with the scheduled guest being House Budget Chairman Paul Ryan. Will be here talking about, you know, budgets and that sort of thing. And then over on the west side of Indianapolis by the airport, Freedom Works will be here. And their political action committee, they're supposed to do a big endorsement or write a check to Richard Murdoch's political campaign tomorrow at 5:30. So between downtown Indianapolis, Carmel, and the airport, you sort of got the triangle of politics going on tomorrow.
Now let's talk first about Freedom Works. Is Dick Armey actually coming in to present the check?
That is unclear whether Dick Armey himself will actually be here to do that. So, like I said, we do know the Freedom Works Political Action Committee is coming, and that's actually kind of caused some consternation with the state Republicans, because they prefer that the night of the state dinner that nobody else really do any other political events, you know, in the area. So that's caused some consternation between the Murdoch campaign as well as the folks running state party. Now, what does that turn into later? You know, we're not quite sure. So, but we're not quite sure if Dick Armey would be here. I don't think he would purposely do something to upstage Governor Daniels.
Tom, you have something for Abdul?
Well, I mean, obviously it's always good whenever Indianapolis or the state of Indiana can draw the national candidates to the scene. And you mentioned Herman Cain, and one of the things that I'm really fascinated about this new plan, 999, and you know, a lot of jokes going around about it being dyslexic 666 and the Mark Beast and whatever. But I guess my question is, do you think this is a valid, legitimate plan, or do you just think that it's a political platform that he's using to perhaps gain attention and gain momentum for his campaign?
I think there's a little bit. The truth is always, my friend, always somewhere in between. From a policy perspective, I've always favored consumption taxes over income taxes. So, because I'd much rather you get your entire paycheck, you spend it, then you pay a tax whenever you go buy a good or purchase a service. So I have a little bit of inherent bias. The math is still kind of out. Oh, the running joke is you get three economists in a room, you'll get five opinions. There are some folks who are saying that overall this would raise taxes on 85% of the population. What Herman Cain says is that, but it would also lower taxes because it decreases the sort of the embedded hidden taxes that are in goods and services that are manufactured. So, like I said, where's the truth? Usually somewhere in the middle.
Well, with Paul Ryan coming to town tomorrow, what do you expect from him, and anything new from his plan?
I would expect from Paul Ryan a lot of praise for Governor Daniels. Talk about it, and the state of Indiana, about how Indiana has lived within its means, it's balanced its budget, create a little bit of a surplus, and the federal government needs to do that exact same thing. I could also see him, you know, talk about the Republican plans for job creation. Now, basically, you know, and that's what a lot of these state senators are. A lot of them, you know, really are preaching to the actual choir. So I expect, you know, Ryan to do the pretty standard stuff. I just think it's interesting that Indiana has become such a crucial place that they're able to get the heavy hitters, whether it's, you know, Herman Cain, Paul Ryan, or for that matter, you know, the other, you know, presidents or major candidates who come to town, Rick Perry, Mitt Romney, and John Huntsman.
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I kind of want to shift gears a little bit from the presidential candidates on the Republican side and talk about Obama for a minute. In the death of Gaddafi, great news, or maybe it's semi-great news, but my question is, do you really think that Obama, again, is standing out in front of the American people saying, looky what I did, looky what I've done? And again, totally disregarding everything that got elected on, and for the most part saying, I'm going to change the economy, it's all going to be about change. And now he's taking glory for something. It's almost like double standards to me. He's saying, well, we inherited all these problems from George W. Bush. So that one of those problems, or if it's a problem or whatever, is the war on terror. Now he wants to claim victory for a war that he never wanted to support in the first place. So I guess my question to you is, what should the American people read into Obama talking about the death of a Gaddafi like it's a birthday celebration?
Well, I think I have to go back and double check. I think the president voted for Afghanistan. I don't think he voted for Iraq. And so you can sort of argue six in one hand, half a dozen in the other, that Afghanistan was a legitimate part of the war on terror. Iraq was, you know, it was what it was. I think where we, with the recent events on the ground, with what's happened, you know, with Osama bin Laden and what's happened with Muammar Gaddafi, you know, if it happens on your watch, the old joke is you get the credit or you get the blame. And I do think the United States played a role in Gaddafi's downfall by sort of having that NATO sort of no-fly zone. So Gaddafi couldn't get his planes up in the air and start shooting at the revolutionaries on the ground. I think the bigger thing, though, is what happens in these places like Egypt, like Tunisia, you know, like Libya, sort of after the fact. Because Arab culture for hundreds of years has always been sort of centered around a strong, you know, cult of personality, whether it's Ramses or Nasser or Saddam Hussein. So the question is now, can they do that? You know, and still achieve the democracy, you know, that these folks want, because if it basically turns, you know, to another place, you know, like Somalia, where terrorists run free, then I think the president's going to really have even more trouble than before.
Yeah, be careful for what you wish for. But no, I think Obama deserves the credit. To me, it's kind of hypocritical with some of the Republicans that you know, screamed that we even went in and were doing anything in Libya, and you know, they're the first ones to praise every other action that we had under a Republican president that you know, things that came out like this. So for Republicans to scream that no, we shouldn't do it, well, they're usually the first ones to say, yeah, go Mr. President, if it's a Republican.
Well, see, that's kind of the nature of politics. It's sort of who's in charge. You know, put your protest signs down, walk across the street, and everybody pick up the other's protest signs.
That's a great way to put it. Well, hey, one other thing, or at least more than one, but one thing I want to talk about is this race developing for the U.S. Senate, and it's starting to turn a little nasty. Obviously, FreedomWorks will be in here tomorrow to endorse/give Richard Murdoch a check, but the Richard Lugar campaign kind of came out firing this week, bringing up the fact that, you know, why is Murdoch lending himself $100,000 for his campaign when he still owes back property taxes?
And like I said, and that's going to be, like I said, it really kind of sets sort of the tone of where we are with these campaigns. You know, the fact that the Murdoch people said, hey, Dick Lugar belonged to this progressive liberal group, he should give back this award. You know, now Lugar saying, you know, hey, Murdoch didn't pay his taxes. And please note, there's no real issue discussion here. about the economy, jobs, et cetera, because to be really honest with you, there isn't a whole lot of difference between Richard Murdoch and Dick Lugar, on the basic core substantive Republican issues. Now,
you're going to hear it from the Tea Party now.
Oh, well, whatever. I'm still right. Because there really is no difference. I mean, I'm sorry, because there isn't. They're both conservatives. They're both Republicans. The only difference is about 20 years, give or take.
Well, I think what end up eventually hurting Murdoch the most is going to be the Chrysler, being against the Chrysler bailout and the litigation that he did with Chrysler. And my guess is that will eventually be the cause of his downfall.
Well, I do think that the Chrysler bail is going to be a bit of a mixed bag. I really do. In the places where you're not affected by Chrysler, you're probably opposed to it. Places where you are, you may take a little bit of a different approach. Now, I can see the Lugar people, finding some Chrysler employee, him and his family saying, "Hey, Richard Murdoch tried to put us out of a job," and kind of tugging on the heartstrings somewhat. But I do think at the end of the day, the Chrysler issue will probably be a wash for both candidates.
All right. One thing that I think maybe I disagree with you on a little bit, I put up an article on my site today at GaryLSnyder.com. Indiana lawmaker makes push for online sales tax. And my first thought, what Democrats want to raise my taxes now? And I read down, and it's Senator Luke Kinley wanting to impose an online sales tax for us Indiana residents now.
Well, basically, here's what the argument has been, and this is something that came up during the last session, is the fact that bricks and mortars retailers, local, pick a business, right there in Marion, that when you go in and you purchase an item, you have to pay an Indiana sales tax. But if you buy that same item online from someone out of state, you wouldn't have to. And so what the local retailers and merchants say is, hey, that puts us at an unfair advantage. If you buy something here in Indiana, you should pay the sales tax regardless of whether you buy it in person or whether online. For example, I recently bought a copy of Governor Daniels' book. I didn't have to pay the Indiana sales tax because I downloaded it from the internet, even though there was no physical store. So what the retail merchants say is, hey, if you're going to buy it online, it's like you bought it here in Indiana, you should pay that 6-7% sales tax, plus that's revenue that the state is losing. Now, the other guy is saying we have no physical presence here, so why should we have to pay and fork over the sales tax? So, I do think it's an issue that's a little more complex, than we like for it to be, but it's probably going to be one of the big issues of the legislature next year.
And I just don't see how the Republicans can support this because, a lot of them assign no tax pledges. And to me, this is just another way to get more of our money.
Well, see, I would argue, but at the end of the day, is it fair to the local business that he has to collect the sales tax and you buy it online, you don't? So if you have to, so for the online purchase is cheaper, so therefore the local merchant's at a bit of a disadvantage. Now, it would be one thing if they were charging the online people more or the in-state people less. But I think if you're charging everybody the same thing for the same service, you get to a sort of a fundamental issue of fairness, not putting your local people, at a disadvantage.
Tom, you got anything else for Abdul?
Yeah, Abdul, I want to talk about, because I think it affects the whole state as a whole, even though it's a big news here in Indianapolis. The prosecutor rejects Indiana Secretary of State's request for criminal probe into Biden's voting. Do you really think that was a decision that should have been made by the prosecutor? Or do you think that this is just a classic political deflection of attention on white?
Let me put it this way. I know, first of all, full disclosure, I know Charlie White personally. I've known Charlie, for almost 7 years. And Charlie's good quality is also his greatest weakness, which is his ability to focus and almost become obsessive over an issue. Up until Secretary of State, it was, to get candidates selected and deliver votes for Republican candidates out of Hamilton County. Fast forward now with the, voter fraud thing, et cetera, and Charlie kind of feeling that, other people have gotten the pass. I don't know necessarily if this would have been the best strategy and the best way to go, because all it really does is bring you back in the spotlight, because I frankly think Carol's got a strong case for being found not guilty of voter fraud just based on what happened out of the Indiana, you know, recount commission. So sometimes it's better just to sit quiet and let sleeping dogs lie, but this is, once again, Charlie's personality, having known him for almost 7 years, is that once he gets fixated on something, he pretty much won't let go.
Well, hey, Abdul, I know you have to get to your event. I don't drink, so at least have a cigar for me. Real quick, where can people find your work?
You can find us at indiepolitics.org. Get all the latest news and gossip, and also grab yourself a copy of the political cheat sheet as well.
Thanks a lot, Abdul. Have fun tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you.
Abdul Hakim Shabazz, right here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. We'll be back here in just a second, a little more with Tom Marquis before we go to the top of the hour news.
Work out anytime you want, 24/7 at Anytime Fitness next to Marsh North in Marion. We offer the very best cardio equipment with satellite TV on each piece, over 10,000 pounds of free weights, and group fitness, including Zumba. Sign up now and get an extra free month with your new membership. Work out for less than a dollar a day, plus have free access to all Anytime Fitness locations anywhere in the country. Stop in for a free 7-day pass only at Anytime Fitness next to Marsh North in Marion.
And we are back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. All right, before we head to the top of the hour news, kind of screwed that up, didn't I? Before we head to the top of the hour news, look outside. It's not too nice out. No, it's not. Keep in mind, winter is rapidly approaching, and time is running out to get that much-needed work done on your home. Got a leaky roof or storm damage? Call Dominion Home Builders now at 317-523-8414. Dominion Home Builders is an honest, top-notch general contractor serving Central, North Central, and East Central Indiana. Call them today, 317-523-8414. That's 317-523-8414. Or you can go online at dhbindiana.com. Dominion Home Builders, structurally sound, distinguished by excellence. And you heard the Anytime Fitness ad. Remember, you go into Anytime Fitness here in Marion. They're up by the Marsh North. You know where that's at. Sign up for a 1-year membership. It starts at less than $1 a month. Mention my name either in a good way or bad way, as long as you mention it, and you will get 2 free months on top of your 1-year membership just for listening to this show. And keep in mind, they are open 24/7. Is there any other workout place that is? No. Anytime Fitness here in Marion, open 24/7, and you can use that membership at any Anytime Fitness across the country. Okay, Tom. We talked to Abdul. Anything to add to what Abdul had to say?
Oh, I always enjoy talking to Abdul. Abdul always gives a good insight. I always agree with his middle-of-the-road thinking, but I'm the kind of guy that I think that there's only one way, and that's the right way. But I like Abdul. I like his input, and for the most part, I think we agree on the same God.
Yeah, you know, I may disagree with him on the online sales tax. I read that article this morning. And my first thought, well, what are the Democrats what taxes are they trying to raise now? And come to find out, it's Senator Luke Kinley trying to raise the online sales tax, or at least get us one here in Indiana. And when you buy something already online, you're already paying for shipping. So that, my guess, negates any reason that you need to have a sales tax for what Luke Kinley is claiming it to be for. But maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. We'll let you go. We'll join you again here in a few minutes, Tom.
Sounds good.
All right. Coming up here in just a few minutes, we have Kurt Cavan. He is going to talk to us about the death of Dan Weldon, get the latest on that. I want to thank Abdul Hakeem Shabazz for joining us. Pete Seat will be back here, 6-7 minutes after the top of the hour news? We'll be right back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Your source for CBS News and the Osgood File is 1400 WBAT Marion.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. In Libya, it is the middle of the night. People are still celebrating the end, the death of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. Reporter Tony Bertley on Al Jazeera English.
They punch their hands in the air. They hug you. They kiss you. They're just so overwhelmed with joy.
President Obama.
This is a momentous day in the history of Libya. The dark shadow of tyranny has been lifted.
He remembers Lockerbie and other Libyan-sponsored incidents of murder and terrorism.
For us here in the United States, we are reminded today of all those Americans that we lost at the hands of Gaddafi's terror. Their families and friends are in our thoughts and in our prayers.
Colonel Gaddafi was chased out of his getaway convoy into a ditch and shot. He died in the ambulance. It was French warplanes and an American Predator drone that stopped the huge convoy. There were more than 100 vehicles in that line. At least 15 were hit, and one of them had Gaddafi in it. CBS News correspondent David Martin.
He was alive when he was taken captive, as we have seen in those rather gruesome videos, and he was harshly treated. But we do not know whether he would have survived his wounds even with better treatment, because he was shot either in the chest or the back.
What next? Leslie Gelb at the Council on Foreign Relations.
It ends, I would say, the second phase of this war. Now, the third phase, to see whether these people can govern, is the toughest.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is in Pakistan, in Islamabad, delivering a warning that the U.S. will do what it must to go after militants and terrorists in Afghanistan and in Pakistan if that's where they hide. And she says it'll happen with or without Pakistani assistance. In Greece, the parliament has passed the latest round of austerity measures, pay cuts for government workers, layoffs, smaller pensions, higher taxes. CBS's Tula Vlahou is in Athens.
Greece needed to pass these measures to get the next installment of its bailout, which is $11 billion. And if it doesn't get the $11 billion, Greece would run out of money in November.
In the streets, people rampaged. They were stamping their feet and throwing things in anger over the budget cuts. Nearly 100 people were injured. One demonstrator died of a heart attack. On Wall Street in New York, the Dow gained 37 points. The Nasdaq lost 5. Oil prices today down to $85.30 a barrel. A judge in Orlando, Florida, plans to rule within 10 days on a video deposition of Casey Anthony during the civil lawsuit against her because of her fictional tale that her baby daughter was kidnapped by her former nanny. There was no such nanny. Now, a woman who had the same name is suing Anthony, claiming her good name was ruined. The judge will decide whether or not to make that video deposition public. This is CBS News.
Right now, the Home Depot has 10% off appliances of $297 or more, plus free haul away and delivery that's really free on brands like GE, Maytag, and LG. So it's never been easier to get appliances that are more dependable, more energy efficient, and yes, shiny. An upgraded kitchen or laundry room starts with 10% off appliances. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through November 9th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Motorcyclists often seem rather intimidating. Rough and tumble. Real bad mamma jammers. Little do folks know, they can actually be quite sensible. Especially if they insure their motorcycle with Geico along with their car. Geico's multi-policy discount could save them quite a bit of money. Did I just say bad mamma jammers? Do you ever say something and think, I wish I'd never said that? This is one of them times.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
There's a pumpkin shortage this year in a lot of places.
Halloween without a pumpkin? Unimaginable, yet it's a real possibility for many because of Hurricane Irene. The storm ruined pumpkin fields all over the Northeast, but in Ohio?
We actually planted a ton of pumpkins this year.
Cleveland area farmer Greg Clement was ready.
With all the rain, I should say, our pumpkins are actually really big this year.
And really plentiful, so he's donating about 2,000 to New Jersey families who might not otherwise get a pumpkin this year.
I just remember that as sort of a rite of passage with my parents and that strong sense of family.
Trucks leave tonight. Clement says he looks forward to seeing a lot of smiling kids walking away with pumpkins tomorrow. Peter King, CBS News.
The town of Beatrice, Nebraska has a new ordinance barring farm animals and other exotics as pets inside the town limits, but Alexis Winder will be able to keep her three little pigs. The Potbellies are being grandfathered in since they were there before the ordinance was. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hey, it's me, Mike Rowe, and Fiona works at a Ford dealership, and she's with me today. How are you, Fiona?
Good, thank you.
Why should I take my car to a Ford dealership for tires instead of a tire specialty place?
When it comes to tires, it's not just a tire, but the right tire is important for your vehicle.
Buy four select tires, get a $100 rebate, and that's on top of the low-price tire guarantee.
So you're saying the right tire at the right price would send me away a happy customer?
Absolutely.
Competitors add required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
I'm Charles Osgood. The true measure of any insurance company comes when you need it the most. And maybe that's why, when it comes to claims, auto owners insurance is known throughout the insurance industry as the no-problem people. Since the year 1916, auto owners insurance has been there when you need them. Auto owners insurance, the no-problem people.
In Shelbyville, call the Olinger Insurance Agency
WBAT.
At 317-398-8936.
Is your siding sagging? Call Tim Weiland with Weiland Construction at 384-4470. Locally owned and operated.
This is Ann Kramer for Financial Advisors Royce and Luke Mitchell of Edward Jones, bringing the daily financial market report. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 37.16 to close at 11,541.78. The Nasdaq Composite Index was down 5.42 to close at 2,598.62. Looking at issues of local interest, Ford Motor Company closed at 1170, up 14 cents. Eli Lilly closed at 3861, down 9 cents. WellPoint closed at 6525, up 35 cents. Walmart closed at 56.37, up 12 cents. Vectren closed at 28.59, down 8 cents. Lowe's closed at 21.52, up